Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 510, 74 degrees on this Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. I know more and more of you listening to podcasts, especially that younger generation. So anywhere you get your podcast, just search The Rob O'Donnell Show, and we are there. Have us downloaded right to your inbox. Before I get started with the third hour of the show here, I just want to say that the Scranton Police Department just put a BOLO. Now, what a BOLO is be on the lookout. B-O-L-O. Be on the lookout. And it's a missing juvenile out of Scranton, a 12-year-old. Last seen on August 11th, reported August 13th. I have shared on my Facebook page on social media. They have a picture and a full breakdown of her, with a picture and the details. Mariah Williams is her name, age 12. And again, last seen August 11th. Missing juvenile, 12 years old. White female, 5'1", 113 pounds. Unknown clothing, last seen in. So there is a picture of her included with the Scranton Police Department notice here. And again, I shared it. If you're on Facebook, please share this. Let's get this young lady found. Let's get her back with her family, or at least know that she's safe and sound with law enforcement intervention. There is a name and number of an officer that's spearheading this missing person. So again, if you're on Facebook, give it a share, and let's find this young lady. There's no reason why a 12-year-old juvenile should be wandering around out there away from her family, regardless of whatever the circumstances. It doesn't say the circumstances. So I'm just saying, whatever they are, you know, this 12-year-old needs to be found. So share it, check it out. If you don't have Facebook, or if you're just on Facebook to look, you know, look and take a look at the picture. And on my Facebook page, I just shared it 13 minutes ago, and 17 minutes ago, the Scranton Police Department posted it. And they're usually very good of updating where it'll say, you know, person found safe. So if you don't see that person found safe there, keep sharing it. And so people, the more her face gets out there, the hopefully faster she gets found. So just a little update on that's just went out 17 minutes ago from the Scranton Police Department. I have shared it. So again, let's get this young lady found. So some New Jersey parents are outraged over a new law that could put them in prison for their kids' bad behavior. They say the snake is eating its tail. The kids aren't all right, and the parents won't be either. Moms and dads in a New Jersey suburb can be tossed, imprisoned, and fined for their badly behaving children under a bonkers new ordinance that some say strips parents of their rights and potentially sets a dangerous precedent. What do you feel in this? I'm mixed. I think it's hard to hold parents accountable for their children, but, you know, is it time? The new law in Gloucester Township passed late July is called the Minors and Parent Responsibility and stipulates that parents will be held accountable for public disturbances caused by their children and could go to jail for 3 months if their kids are found guilty of multiple offenses. Parents are feeling pretty outraged. Alex Boger, chair of the Bergen County Chapter of Parents' Rights Group, Moms for Liberty, told the Post yesterday, they're getting attacked from every angle here. The ordinance is a result of a massive brawl that broke out last year among a throng of 500 minors at the Gloucester Township Day and Drone Show, according to NewJersey.com. 11 people, including 9 teens, were arrested. 3 officers were also injured. The juvenile offenses that fall under the new law are sweeping. There are 28 in total, with being a disorderly person, immorality, destruction of playground equipment, and loitering, joining the likes of assault, mugging, drunkenness, and drug dealing. If a child is repeatedly found guilty in juvenile court, their caretaker could face up to 90 days in prison and or a fine of $2,000, the Gloucester Township Police said in a recent release clarifying the law. Police Chief David Harkin told NewJersey.com that the law consisted of general legal language and that parents would receive a warning first for their kids' bad behavior. Our ordinance was actually sampled from other towns, the police chief said, referring to Jersey Shore's Wildwood, which has also seen a spate of crazy teen behavior. We're not necessarily the first, but we're probably the first bigger town to adopt it. Gloucester Township is located just 8 miles from Philadelphia and has a population of nearly 67,000. The drastic move has been supported by the mayor. We have to hold parents responsible, he told the local media. Boer, the mother of 3 herself, said many parents she's spoken with feel the law is an overstep and an alarming move towards stripping away parents' rights to make choices for their children. Well, I don't think this is about making choices for the children. I think it's about dealing with out-of-control children that you're actually failing to control. It's a very dangerous precedent. Like, this should not be, it should not be, she said, adding that the new law was a contradiction of policies already in place in the state. She cited a New Jersey public school policy, 5756, a recent guidance which advises teachers not to tell parents if their kids begin identifying as a different gender in classroom, and to create a confidential file of school records to keep hidden from parents. They do make a sense there. They do make sense. So in school, they hide things from the parents to protect the children's identity and individuality. But if your kid's outside breaking laws, well, you, the parent, are going to be held responsible. Policy 5756, which I think is utterly ridiculous, is intended to protect transgender students who might be endangered by parents who don't agree with their identity choice. But Boger or others see it as an infringement on parents' freedoms to raise their kids, and a policy that also makes minors and parents responsible are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Parents are basically being told that they don't have rights as parents to know what's going on with their children, she said. But on the other side, it's how could you not know what's going on with your children? How come you didn't step in to discipline them? If you're going to block the parents, how do you blame the parents, she said. Again, not a bad argument. Nick Salfer, one of the organizers of parents' rights groups in New Jersey Project, said the new ordinance on its face doesn't make sense. A 90-day jail sentence is extreme for parents who maybe have other kids. Maybe they have a problem kid. Now this person can't pay their bills and their mortgage or take care of any of their children because they're going to jail because one child that's out of control. It's kind of like the snake eating its tail. Nothing is going to be fixed, Stouffer said. Stouffer thinks the problem lies with post-pandemic movements to roll back policing and that the cops need to be allowed to intervene and defuse kids before situations get out of hand. We have limited powers for the police to maybe do their job, she said. It's an extreme response to something that's not being taken care of by the state. All right, so the answer here, what I'm reading, is let's build more juvenile detention facilities and put the juveniles that are out of control and incarcerate them in some sort of facility. That doesn't solve the problem, but it takes the kids off the street from creating the problems. And again, once there is consequences for bad behavior, a lot of times it stymies bad behavior, but you'll always have your group of adults, juveniles, children that won't care. They won't care. And those are the ones that are dangerous. People do not a lot of time, well, people don't break laws because of their moral values, and they're at heart, most of us are good people. That being said, if you have someone that just doesn't care of the consequences, and what was the movie? I think it was Goodfellas, where Joe Pesci said it. Or no, it was Casino. The movie Casino. To where he says, basically, I'm going to bust your head open. And I'm going to go to jail. And when I get out, I'm going to come right over to your house, and I'm going to bust your head open again. And then when you come to and you start healing up, maybe I'll be getting out of jail again, and I'm going to come over and I'm going to do it again. And there's the sense of reality. There's only so much time they're going to put someone in jail for breaking your jaw. How many times can they go to jail versus how many times can you have your jaw broken? It's simple math. I would assume after a while, enough's going to be enough because you're tired of getting your jaw broken. But if someone is just intent and saying, hey, I'll go to jail as many times as I need, and maybe they'll get a week, 2 weeks, maybe they'll get a month, 2 months, maybe they'll get 2 years. Well, if they're going to come out and come right back at you and break your jaw again, and there are people like that commit crimes. They just don't care what the results are. And those are the truly dangerous people. If there is someone who's intent on committing crime and they don't care of the consequences, it means nothing to them. Those are the truly dangerous people. And those are the truly dangerous teens. But a lot of times, it's teenagers that have never learned a lesson. They've never felt the swift hand of consequences. And by swift hand, I mean physically. I mean incarceration-wise, getting everything taken away from them. Just like, you know, children who are spoiled. Never been punished before. The timeout generation, as we like to call them. They usually become pain in the ass kids, and then pain in the ass teens, and then pain in the ass adults. And I'm not saying you should beat your children, but I'm saying there should be consequences for bad behavior, and it should be a little bit more than sitting in the corner with a timeout room or your iPad get taken away for 15 minutes. There should be real consequences to real actions. And that goes for juvenile crime even more so. So I don't see this being the answer. I think you will get a portion of parents that make sure their kids are monitored a little better, but I think you'll have a portion of parents that also outright disown their kids. I threw them out of the house. They don't live there anymore. I'm not their responsibility. Then what do you do now that these kids need to turn to a complete life of crime? So I think it could exacerbate the issue. You'll have a small portion that actually decide they're going to parent their kids. But does it make a big difference in the long run? I don't think it does. So I think I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we get into the last half hour of today's show on this Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. 75 degrees outside. So poor little baby Brian Kohlberger was whining about being kept up at night by relentless inmate taunts at the maximum security lockout via a report. And if you don't remember, Brian Kohlberger is the cretin that was given four life sentences for the murder of four University of Idaho students. He was transferred from jail to the only maximum security prison in the state and is now being held there in solitary confinement. Well, he should be glad he's in solitary confinement. And if he's all sad about the taunts and whining about being kept up at night, wait till some of the inmates turn you into their Cabbage Patch doll there, Brian, because that's going to happen sooner rather than later, because solitary confinement is all fun and games, but you're not always in solitary confinement when you're in solitary confinement. Yes, you do have time out in the yard. Yes, you do have to transverse from place to place every now and then. You're not going to get any sympathy from me, nor most of the populace, I would imagine. So I think him whining about being kept up at night by relentless inmate taunts, yelling at him through the vent system, screaming down the halls and as they walk by his cell, I I'm all for it. Have at it. Prison, especially four life sentences for murder of four young, beautiful lives. That's whipped cream on your sentence. And no pun intended, because sooner or later, that's going to be you.
So. DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh. I don't understand. I do understand. He's a coward. It's why he did what he did in a cowardly way, and he will always act a coward and be the coward. So welcome to hell, Brian, and you deserve every piece of it that you get. And hopefully it goes on for a long, long time. Outside of the cost of housing, feeding, and caring for you, I almost wish you would live for a long time, because it's not going to get any better. And every day, if I work there, I would remind you that it's not going to get any better. In a polite way, with all due respect. It's 5:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 535. I am seeing pictures now of a lot of streets that were broken up because of the flooding, manhole covers with the asphalt around them all busted up and leaving gaps in between there. Again, you know, it's still early now, 5:35, 5:36. But if, again, where I, when I say if you don't need to be out tonight, don't go out, it's for good cause, because roads you normally drive on that are fine, or at least you know where the potholes are. And yes, granted, I'm talking to you. There may be new ones now, and there may be substantial new ones where you could damage your car or disable your vehicle. So, again, once it gets dark tonight, or once you're out and about and there could be a pothole under a puddle where you think it's just a puddle, and sure enough, there's some damage underneath it. So if you don't need to be out tonight, I'm serious. Don't go out. You don't need to be out. There's no reason to. You know, take your route, your normal routes tomorrow if you're out and about in the daylight, or you know, wait a little bit to see what's going on and let the public works get out there and put cones or block off areas that need to be blocked off. They are in the process of doing that now. They're going street to street to see, to make sure if there's any infrastructure issues in towns all around the areas that have been affected. But I'm seeing lots of pictures of some places, new paving that has been ripped up and just gone. So, and again, some of the things I'm seeing are the asphalt around manhole covers that were flooded, just ripped away around the manhole cover. So if you don't need to be out in your vehicle, if you don't need to be out, don't be out, because you know, you hit one of these things in the dark that you think was normally a decent road, and now you have a flat tire or a broken rim, more damage, broken tie rod, and you know, lots of things that could cost you a lot of money that you don't need happening because of this. So again, if you don't need to be out, don't be out. So the title of the segment that I put on my schedule is not really offensive. That was on my schedule to talk about today. And basically, remember all the hubbub about Sydney Sweeney and those American Eagle Great Jeans ad and how offensive it was, and it's about eugenetics and all these things, and it's Nazism. And well, there was a poll done. And after all the outrage on social media and the media talking about it and everything, only 12% of Americans found that ad to be offensive. Yep. The uproar over Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle ad campaign that exploded over social media and on TV, according to a new survey, only a small sliver of Americans saying that they were offended. Just 12%. Of Americans said that they found the campaign offensive, while an overwhelming majority said that they thought it was clever and didn't have any opinion one way or another. Basically, they didn't care. And this is according to the Economist / YouGov poll. It was manufactured, the entire thing. It was a nothing burger. People said, yeah, it was a good commercial. Others says, I really don't care. It's a jeans commercial. I mean, I'm not really looking to buy American Eagle jeans, but after all the backlash on it, I sure as hell told my wife to get herself a pair. One of the reasons why they're sold out, right? Guess it worked. So, plus they're decent jeans, right? So, 12% of Americans said that they found it offensive. And those 12%, yeah, we know who most of them are. We see you. We know. Everyone knows who you are. Everybody's got one of them friends on their Facebook friend list. And then they chime in every now and then, outraged by everything, looking for something to be outraged. And some of the videos of the people that are outraged just highlighted that point. So again, totally manufactured, like most of the stuff that's going on. So interesting. And they break it down further. ...39% said that they viewed the Sydney Sweeney ad as great jeans ad as clever. 12% called it offensive. 40% said it was neither. And 8% said, I don't even know what you're talking about. So, first of all, it's good that only 8% didn't know what they were talking about or unaware of it. Means the ad worked. The survey was conducted August 9th to August 11th among just over 1,600 adults. Found that men were far more likely than women to describe the ad as clever, 49 versus 31%, while women were more likely to see it as offensive, 17 compared to 7%. That's that jealous cattiness women have of each other. You overjudge each other. Strong women support strong women. Come on. Get with it. I will tell you, strong women scare weak men. Yeah, my wife has that shirt. I got her that one too. Get with it. Come on, liberals. Jump in the game. The water's nice and warm. It's 541 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is coming up on 546, 75 degrees as we start to wind things down here on the show. I did get a text, man. It says, hey, Rob, I was just wondering if you saw a newscast. I'm not going to say which one, but news last night, something about gay marriage. So two guys kissing twice during their broadcast. Don't really think it was necessary when there's probably young children close by. We have a lot of Catholic and Protestants that don't really appreciate this stuff being rammed down their throat. You know, what do your listeners think? And I responded, I don't think any newscast should rely on PDA, public displays of affection, from anyone to get their point across. If you were talking about a story, and I don't know what the story was about gay marriage, focus on the story. Focus on the facts of the story. I don't think any news organization or newscast should rely on public displays of affection from anyone, regardless of there. And I understand, you know, people have strong thoughts about this. I'm Catholic, and listen, I could care less who someone loves, lives with, marries, dates. Regardless, I have plenty of friends who are gay, and you know, I love them just as much as I love my regular friends, and I respect them just as much as I respect my friends. They are my friends. There is no gay friends and not gay friends. So I really don't see an issue with it other than I don't think it has any value in a news story. That being said, I'm not a big fan of public displays of affection from anyone, and it's just the way I am, and that goes for me with my wife. That goes from anyone. You know, if I'm walking down the street and I see a couple, man and woman, you know, making out passionately in the middle of the street, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for the middle of the street. Just the way if it was a gay couple doing the same, I would think it's not appropriate in the middle of the street. And you know, I had this conversation a long time ago when my son was young. And we had a gay couple that lived next door to us in our townhouses when we lived in New York City in Queens. And they would sit out in the front lawn. We had a nice grassy area, and they would make out a lot. And I said, listen, come on, this just isn't appropriate. You're in a court square with every window looking at you. And they said, oh, you just don't like gay people. And I says, no. I mean, when's the last time you saw, and my wife and I used to sit out there all the time. When's the last time you saw us sit out here and just make out? It's not appropriate for the courtyard. You want to sit out here. You want to hold hands. You want to give each other a simple kiss. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care. But it's just that public displays of affection like that are just inappropriate in public places, my opinion. And I don't care where you come from. But as far as it being a gay couple, a straight couple, or whatever couple there is, I could care less who someone loves, who they marry, who they date, who they live with. It doesn't matter to me. Good people are good people, and there's plenty of good people out there. And there's just the whole thing going on with other issues outside of just loving someone you want to love or being with someone you want to be or who you're attracted to. We've gotten away from that with all these other issues of transgenderism and sex changes and men becoming pretending to be girls and girls pretending to be men and what bathroom they're going in. That's a totally separate issue. That's a totally different thing than just, hey, you know, someone's attracted to the same sex. That's who they fall in love with. Have at it. You know, be who you are. And I'm not going to deny them of that ever. But I'm just not a fan of public displays of affection. So in this context, being it was a news story, I don't think it served a purpose other than that shock value that caught your attention. And that's probably why they did it. But it took away from the news story, as far as I'm concerned, if they were trying to get a point across of whatever story they were talking about. So, you know, I hope that clarifies my position and, you know, where I stand. It's not something I would do with my wife out in public. If it's a same-sex couple, you know, I don't think it's appropriate out in public either. You know, you want to hold hands, you want to give each other a simple kiss, you want to embrace each other with a hug, hey, have at it. But I just think, you know, passionate public displays of affection beyond that are inappropriate regardless of who you are. And that's just the way I look at things. So, again, I hope that clarifies things. Somebody said my girlfriend would get furious when I squeezed her butt in public walking through the mall. See, even that in a cute way, I could care less again who's doing that. You know, as long as it didn't go overboard. That's you know, depending on the context of that, you know, that could be kind of cute. So for whoever, and again, live your life and be happy with the life you live. And it's not us to judge it. Other than that, and again, it's a separate issue when you start getting into different sexes, going into different bathrooms and invading into other people's space. Somebody simply falling in love with someone of the same sex, that doesn't affect my life one way or another. So have at it. Live your life the what makes you happy. And the last story, and again, that was a text message that came in, which is why I went into that. Why Americans are rethinking alcohol, according to this new Gallup poll. Less Americans are drinking. They're saying moderate drinking is bad for their health. 53% now of U.S. adults are saying moderate drinking is bad for their health. That's up from 28% in 2015. Now, mind you, in this poll, this Gallup poll gets into it as well. A lot of us went overboard. A lot of people went overboard during the pandemic. There was a lot of drinking going on during the pandemic, and it kind of hit a high point. And it may have been the tip of the iceberg to where people afterwards said, hey, I just didn't like the way that made me feel. I didn't like the whole thing about it. I mean, as I'm getting older, I just don't drink as much as well. I don't drink as often. When I do, I usually do, but it is becoming further and further in between. Maybe because it takes longer for me to feel better after I indulge in large amounts. Not large amounts, but if I have more than a one or two. And I think that's a big part of it. Maybe we're just getting older and wiser when it comes to, you know, it's no closing the night at the bar and making it for the work in the morning. It was funny because we had our company baseball game at the Rail Riders last night that we went out, and I didn't have a drink. I went there after the show. The game started at 6:30, and they had $2 Coors Light, which I think were phenomenal. Cans of Coors Light for $2 for the first 2 hours. That was a great deal there. But I just don't drink on work nights. It's not what I do. It's not what I've done in a long time because I just don't like the way I feel the next day if I have just even a few drinks. I can definitely feel the difference the next day. So it's just something I don't do, usually because if I start drinking on a work night, the next day won't be a work night. So that's just me. And this kind of supports that. You know, concerns about health impacts rise. Fewer Americans reporting that they drink. The survey finds 54% of U.S. adults say they drink alcoholic beverages such as liquor, wine, or beer less, lower than any other point in the past three decades. The findings of the poll, which were conducted in July, indicate that after years of many believing that moderate drinking was harmless or even beneficial, worries about alcohol consumption are taking hold, according to this Gallup data. Now, a federal government is updating new dietary guidelines, including those around alcohol. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, government data showed U.S. alcohol consumption was trending up. But other government surveys have shown a decline in certain types of drinking, particularly among teenagers and young adults as well, that's a good sign. This comes alongside the new drumbeat that for information about alcohol's risk. While moderate drinking was once thought to have benefits for heart health, health professionals in recent years have pointed to overwhelming evidence that alcohol consumption leads to negative health outcomes and the leading cause of cancer. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, but I just think it's because for me personally, it's for no particular reason. It's just age and probably stamina. You know, I'm one who likes to be in bed by 10 o'clock, so I'm not going to be out drinking till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning. And again, that's just me. About two-thirds of 18 to 34-year-olds believe that moderate drinking is unhealthy now, according to a poll, up from about 4 in 10 in 2015. Older adults are less likely to see alcohol as harmful. About half Americans age 55 and older believe that it's harmful, but just do not partake as much. So you could take the poll as you see fit. But drinking rates fall to a decade low. Slightly more than half Americans, 54%, report that they drink any alcohol. And that's a low. And Americans who do drink alcohol are consuming less. A good thing, probably. Does the economy have anything to do with it? Does cost have any? I mean, drinks out are expensive. I mean, I was up at Saratoga Springs, and drinks were $15 to $18 a drink. Well, how much of them are you really going to have? But places, like I said, the deals you can get at happy hours or the Rail Riders games where they have $2 Coors Light cans for 2 hours, that's a great deal. And, you know, what you'd expect to be drinking at a discount. So good news health-wise. And listen, you don't need alcohol to have a good time. And if you do, you're probably doing the good time thing wrong. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. It's after Wednesday. We got over the hump. The rest is downhill. See how easy it was when we worked together. Somebody said they think the reduction in drinking is because of a lot of states legalized cannabis. So are people switching to that now rather than drinking? I don't really know. Somebody actually texted, a man has to know his limitations, as Clint Eastwood would quote. Yes, they do. Yes, they do indeed. We'll see what's going on in the overnight and have some new group of stories to speak with you tomorrow on. Looks like there's already some stuff going on that we'll be able to talk about. And we'll put it together and bring it to you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, sticking with us for the 3 hours or any part of that or of that you stuck with us for. We will see you tomorrow. God bless, be safe, and see you then.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.